Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
sweet memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
long
once more to be,
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
of memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
long
once more to be,
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
of memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I love
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, fathers, we open your word this morning. We're asking once again for the Holy Spirit to come forth to bring to us the truth and the revelation of this, your word, Heavenly Father, that you would want each of us to have this day, to help us to grow, Father, in knowledge and wisdom, to be able to use the word, Father, to reach out and to help those around about us. Be with us throughout this study, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We finished 10 yesterday, which we had a lot of things about the difference between the old covenant and the new, which we know the difference between, especially through our studies, because we set out to go through the complete Bible. Well, we just finished with the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, and we have finished with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we have come this far through the New Testament into the book of Hebrews, and we have read the book of Revelation. Now, we found out a lot about how we should walk at all and the difference between the old and the new. Now, this morning, we're going to be talking quite a bit about faith. Here's verse 1. You know, this is the reason that I ask everyone that when you come to join us in our Bible study, have your Bible with you so you can follow along. You'd be surprised how much help it will be. But then, too, you know for a certainty that what I am speaking is God's word and not mine. Now, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the very evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, you know, actually, right there in that first verse, talking about faith, you know, faith is what we use to bring things into being that we don't see. But through faith, we can bring those things into existence. That's why we all need strong faith. And as we go through this chapter, we're going to find out men that walked with strong faith and the things that were accomplished, which will let us also know things that we can accomplish if we will walk not only close to the Lord, but in His Word, giving ourselves completely to Him, making sure that He is first in our life. He's to be first. Nothing else or no one is to be between us and Him. You say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm married and I've got a wife or I've got a husband. It doesn't matter. The Lord comes first. And then your spouse. And then your children. Then your work. And when you keep things in that order and you love all of them, you'll find how much better things really work and how many blessings God will actually give unto you. Now, here in verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. No, He spoke all this into being. When He created it, it was created by Him speaking it into being. 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being did yet speak it. Well, you know, as we came through the Old Testament, we had already studied about Cain and Abel. And we know why God would not accept Cain's sacrifice and why He did Abel's. And the main reason for Him not accepting Cain's sacrifice, a lot of people think it was because he was actually a farmer. His gift, his sacrifice would have been grain that he raised instead of flesh as Abel's was. But that was really not the reason. The reason, right, was his heart was not right with God. And that's why it wasn't accepted. And he wound up killing his brother. And yet, we're told in the Bible that even Abel's blood cried out to God from the earth. You see, that's where life is. A lot of us, we don't study the Word of God. We'll read it, but we don't really take the time to study it. Read it aloud and read it slowly. But before we get into it, go to the Father in prayer. And I said, go to the Father, not someone else or something else, but to the Father in Jesus' name. So that's the way we're told to pray. He says, you pray to your Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. I'll hear from heaven. And you know, if I hear from heaven, you can have your wishes for what you've asked for, unless it's things you really don't need or things that would hurt you. It would need to be things that really would agree with the Word of Almighty God, because he's not going to give you something bit like that. Now, here's verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, we can't please him. Because without faith, we're not believing in him. You see, now the thing of it is, we all have a little faith, because God gave to every man a little faith. But it's what we have done with it as we have grown. And once we become adults, reach the age of accountability, from then on, it's what we do with things and about things, because we all have choices. Now, here's one that through faith in God and walking close with God, he didn't die to leave this earth. He was translated and took to heaven. There was two that went that way. One in a chariot of fire, and the other one in a whirlwind. Now, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, right there in God's own words, exactly what I was telling you. Now, 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You see, that's the way we reach righteousness. Now here, no one at that time had even seen rain. They didn't know what rain was. And where he was at wasn't by no ocean. And yet, God told him to build an ark. They made all kinds of fun of him. Mocked him and everything else. But he set out to do exactly what God told him to do. You see, he listened to God, and he put his faith to work in God, that God knew what he was talking about. And he built that ark. It took him 40 years, but he built it. Now, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. And if you remember, as we come through that part of Scripture, he did. God told him to go. He had no idea where he was going, but he started out as God told him to do, and God led him where he wanted him. But he went. Now, and he got exactly what God meant to give him. 9, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now we know that the promise was made with the three of them. Verse 10. For he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, yeah, way past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, and we know that she had that child. She had been barren. Wasn't just that she wasn't having one, she was barren. But yet God made things right, and she conceived that seed and bare a son, just as he had told her. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sands which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now what's he talking about there? Even as one did. Because you see, Abraham, when she conceived, was 100 years old. She wasn't the only one dead, physically, as far as childbearing went. She was well past the age, but so was he. But you see, God done exactly what he told them he was going to do. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You see, the promise and the covenant he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was the promise of Israel and of their seed belonging to him and doing great things. They didn't see that part of the promise. They were all dead before then. But it happened just as God promised. You see, his promise to Abraham was even of our day and time. And it happened just as he said. God keeps his promise. The problem is not with God, it is man himself. When we will not study his word and know what he has promised us, what he has already given us. We lose out on our blessings. You see, the prophet Isaiah, 430 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born, he gave promise. God did to Isaac about the Lord Jesus Christ. 430 years. I want you to think about that. Before I'm going to read something to you. We're going to be leaving. Hold your place there on Hebrews 11. But if you want to follow with me, or you can just listen. In Isaiah 53, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, you see, he's speaking here about Jesus, which you'll know in just a moment. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Oh boy. Think about that. That's exactly what happened when he was born. 430 years later. You see, Isaiah never saw it. But we know it took number 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. In other words, our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. You see, when he went to the cross, he took those beatings and all before. And when he went to the cross, he took all of our sins, sicknesses, and diseases with him. And by his stripes, we were given healing. We just don't understand enough to reach out and claim it and receive it and believe it with enough faith for it to take place. It's not God's fault. It's there. It was given over 2,000 years ago. Now, yet, we just can't seem to work up enough faith to receive it. I do thank God that there are some that does, yes, here in our ministry. We've had several healings right in our service. Because there was enough faith to see it done. But in most churches, they don't teach anything at all about it. At all. Because when you come down to it, they really don't have that faith. Now, we come on down now here to verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And we all, in our way, are seeking something different. It just depends on what it is we're looking for. Most of us don't want the truth because we have to change our life, which means in changing our lives will cause us to have to change a whole lot of things that we really don't want to turn loose of. And yet, we must. They are things we have to turn loose of. I had a couple coming to church. They wanted to join the church and become members. And I was talking to them. And I had asked them how long they had been married. And I found out they was not married. He had been in jail. And she was writing two people in jail. And through their writing, when he got out, they got together. They moved in together. They started coming to church. Now they wanted to join church. I told them, I said, no. You cannot. Not the way you're living. If neither of you are married or have been married, then go out and get married. But you can't be a member of the church and live together unmarried and live in sin. They didn't like that. So they left my church, talked about me. They went to another church. But they found out even that church, and it was a weak church, wouldn't let them become members either. mankind does not want to make changes. And it would all be for the best. They was living together. Why not go ahead and do it rightly and change their lives and be blessed by God? But through all of this and as many services as they sat through, they still would not accept the word of God. Now, verse 15, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. 16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. He's prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. The son that God promised Abraham eventually, Abraham was told to take that son up into the mountain and sacrifice him. God told him to do that. But you see, he was just being tried. His faith was being tried. He took him. He went to the place where he was told to take him. Built an altar. Set everything up. Put his son on that altar. Drawed his arm back with the knife in it to kill his son. And God stopped him. Told him no, not to do it. And he had gave him an offering by one that was caught in the bush there by him, an animal that was caught there. But you see, he had enough faith because of the statement that he made and all, because he knew even if he did kill Isaac as God had told him to do, that God could raise him from the dead. He had that much faith and that God would do it because he had gave him to him. How much faith have you got today? It takes faith for everything we do. Our marriages take faith. It takes work to keep that marriage going as it should be going. Without all of the fuss and the arguments and all of that going on. With the love that should be in it. It takes faith. And it takes the Lord Jesus Christ in that marriage. And the Heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit. But you see, when you do become that born-again child of the living God, you have all three living in you. and it doesn't matter whether you're man or woman. You are a child of God, and that is living in you. Now, whether you are a man or a woman may mean a difference in the work God calls you to do. You see, God lets us know He does not call a woman to preach in the church. Now, she can share God's gospel with me outside the church. But in the church, she's not to do it. He tells us that in 1 Timothy 2nd chapter. He says, I did not suffer a woman to teach nor usurp authority over man. That word suffer means allow or permit. So it could have just as easily been, I do not allow or permit a woman to teach nor use authority over man. Because that's exactly what it meant. Look it up. That's what I'm telling you about, having your Bible with you. And take a few notes along to help you to grow. Because like that word suffer, most people read that, they pay no attention really to that word. A lot of them associate that with, well, if I'm suffering, that's painful. They didn't know that that word also in Greek meant allow and or permit time to study the Word of God to learn. Because for one, they don't want to spend that kind of time in God's Word and with each other. Oh, I like my church because, you know, we go to church, we hear a few hymns, we get about a 15-minute sermonette, we can go dismiss and go home. And you've learned nothing. You've gained nothing. Now, 18. 17 is where Abraham offered up Isaac. 18 says, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You see, God has made a promise, and that's why Abraham, through his faith, figured that if I slay him, God's going to raise him. Because God made that promise. 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up. See, there it is. Even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He told them to take his bones with them to the promised land. And they did. They carried his bones through that all that journey, you know, to the promised land. By faith, 23. Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. They hid him for 3 months. And then we know what happened. His mother put him in a basket. It was covered with pitch. And then put him out in some brush in the lake. Pharaoh's daughter found him and raised him. With a lot of other things going on. Now, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. We know he did. He left Pharaoh and those of Egypt and went to his own people. 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He chose to go with the Hebrew rather than all of the riches he had there as Pharaoh's daughters and everything Pharaoh had gave him and made of him. Now, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He's following after God now. Already. 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. A lot going on here by faith, isn't there? 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Now, but you see, they were doing exactly what God told them to do because of faith. Was there times they were scared? Oh, yes. But Moses kept leading as God led him. 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compressed about 7 days. And you know, we're going to get ready and stop here because we still got a lot to go yet here in chapter 11. We're going to stop here with verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compressed about 7 days. I'm going to stop right there. And we'll pick up there, God willing, this evening at 6 p.m. and continue on to wherever God takes us. We'll finish naturally with 11, and we may get into 12. at whatever God will lead us to do. I pray that all has received something from God this morning and that it has helped in some way someone to move closer and stronger unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray now for Israel, Jerusalem. We pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray that they all will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. Come out from behind that Mosaic law. It has been fulfilled. Father, move them under the new, under the word, thy word, Father, for this holy Bible, so that land, Israel, will be known as a land of Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has turned its back and walked so far away from your word, from you, from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the church, and from your people. They want nothing to do with any of us. They're trying, Father, to move us from where we are or was and put us under socialism, Father. And they brought so much evil upon our own people. And a lot of it being accepted into a lot of our churches. The teaching of homosexuality as just another lifestyle has been accepted into several of our churches, though, when it's not just another lifestyle. It is an abomination unto you. The word tells us so. And abortion is being a woman's right. No one has the right to kill an unborn child. No one has that right. Life and death is in God's hands, not man's. Father, help us to remove from office those that has brought all of this upon us and to replace them, Father, with those of righteousness that walk after you and after your word. And help us to bring this land to repentance and put it back upon the foundation of which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we pray for those that are sick and distressed. Father, that healing has been given. May they, through faith, claim it, receive it, stand on it, believing in it without doubt. And Father, we know that if they will do that, they will see it come about. It may not be done that instant, Father, if they'll just hold on. Hold on to it. giving you thanks for it. Yes, see. It worked. Now, Father, be with us all through this day. Keep us all in health. Keep us safe. And Father, keep us filled with your love for each other. But most of all, for you. Now, Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. God bless everyone. Have a great day. And I pray God will take care of you this day and he'll use you in some way to talk to someone else. And that we can all be together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and back into the Word of the Living God. Have a great day now. Hold on to God. He'll hold on to you. And I thank each and every one of you for being here this morning. And thank you, Amy, for your presence with us. You and your family. God be with you through this day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Have a great day now. Bye-bye.